But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 is kind of our theme verse for last week, today, and next week as we wrap up. I'm pretty sure I'm just going to do it in three parts. I have another possibility. But we're talking about, started last week, maintaining a steadfast faith in a messed up world. And this is the verse that we're going to be looking at. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the labor of the Lord your labor is not in vain. And we're going to be talking this morning about that. What does steadfast really mean? What does it mean for us to be immovable? How is it really possible for the child of God? Is it possible? I feel like I'm in an echo chamber and there's no one else in here with me, very few of us this morning. So pray that the church would grow, that we'd have people coming back. And I know some people are away, but I know a lot of things going on. But just be in prayer for our church. But how is it possible for us to remain steadfast? Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless our time. Father, thank you. Lord, though we're few this morning, I pray that your word would have an effect. Lord, help us to hear what you want us to hear. Help us to apply it to our lives. And Lord, we thank you that you are present with us even when there's just a handful of us gathered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to be looking at that term and a little bit of it next week, being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're going to be applying that to the difficult things we see in the world, and it is a messed up world. We looked last week at how churches are compromising on the Word of God. We were looking at how so many around us in such attacks in the world and denying Christ, denying the Word of God, trying to close down churches, not just trying to close down churches, but are closing down churches, and how many churches no longer stand on the truth of God or believe it or teach it even, or even believe it. They deny the Word of God. As I said with Andy Stanley's church, allowing these this gay couple to be there ministering in this conference coming up, these two men that are married, and just their whole stand on the LGBTQ community, and just saying, you know, we've got to break down the barriers aside from the Word of God. It's very dangerous when that happens. Well, last week that's our verse. Last week we looked at some characters. Just to remind you, we looked at Job, who in his world lost everything, yet he was able to maintain that steadfast faith. Daniel, and we put down, rather than trying to write out their names, three Hebrew youths, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We looked at them and realized their messed up world that they lived in told them to deny God or end up in a furnace or end up in a lion's den. And they continued to be steadfast in their faith. Peter and John were told by the high priest, don't preach this Christ gospel anymore. And they said, who do we listen to? We're going to choose to listen to God over you. And then Paul, obviously, we looked at his ministry and how he continued to challenge us. But we get hung up so often, excuse me, on the issues around us, whether it's abortion, and abortion is something that Christians need to stand against, or violence in school or whatever. We can get hung up on issues that we forget that the basic reason that people have these issues is that they're lost. They need to hear the gospel. And we cannot focus. I always go back to that video or the picture we show every Sanctity of Life Sunday of the two towers. The Christian canon is fighting and blowing at the issues of abortion, of right to life, of health care, all the different things that are issues to Christians. And the world with Satan is just shooting at the foundation of God's Word, trying to deny God's Word, take it out of the school system, which they were successful in doing years ago. And we are out there fighting these little fights over issues, but forgetting the gospel is the predominant message that we need to share. So how do we live steadfast life? Steadfast, just keep in mind, is just a continuation of our daily walk with Christ, knowing that we're running the race to victory. The victory is guaranteed to be ours. It's not a hope so. We hope that Christ comes through in the end here. We know the victory is ours. And I trust that as you sit here this morning, that your desire, if God were to call you home before the service is over, or if Christ were to return, we would all want to hear that statement from God, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I trust that that is true for you. If you can follow along in your notes here this morning, we're going to be filling in these blanks here in just a couple moments, but the football season has started. I love this time of year, and I like it when it gets cooler. We were talking before exposed to rain this morning. We were saying to a few of you, it would be so awesome if we had some snow flurries when the rain came. And you were all in agreement with that. I know you were all excited thinking about the snow. But I do love this time of the year with football season. But whether it's high school, college, or the NFL, every one of those teams and coaches and players go back to the basic disciplines of the sport. And I've told you the story. Lombardi picked up the football with the Green Bay Packers after they played a particularly bad game. He said, "Guys, we're going back to the basics. This is a football." And every player has to know the basics. There is no team. After today's game in the NFL, the coach is not going to say, "Okay, guys, next week we're in Dallas, so just make sure you're there. The game's at 4 o'clock. Make sure you're at the stadium by 3:15 to get dressed, and we'll kind of go over what we're going to do together about 15 minutes before." No, they spend this week watching films. They'll be preparing for the Cowboys, and they'll be preparing for every team does that for whatever team they're going to be playing. And every coach says you need to be attentive to the game plan. You need to follow through what the coaching staff has come up with. As we're going to know their tendencies. We're going to know what they're going to tend to do on first and 10. We're going to know what they're going to do if it's first and 20. We're going to try to figure out what they're going to do, and we're going to stick with the game plan. So if we're going to avoid the spiritual downfall, which is the moving part of being immovable. Okay, it says be steadfast, immovable. The moving part of immovable is our spiritual weaknesses, that we can get so hung up on the issues that we forget the real call from God is to be a testimony. Or we can get so stressed out over the news that we see that we forget that God is really in control. That's the movable part of being immovable. And God says, don't do that. Be steadfast, be immovable. All right, so how do we stay immovable? If the Word of God is really going to be our strength, we need to be, first off, be attentive to study. Be attentive to study. Paul would write this to Timothy. This is the last book that Paul wrote, and it's just before he died. Okay, just before Paul was killed, it says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." The King James Version does say, I like it better what they say, "Study to show yourself approved." He says, "Present yourself to God as one approved." But the King James says, "Study to show yourself approved." Be in the word of God. Make it part of you. And Paul says we're to do our best to present ourselves as approved to God. That word "present" is the word parastesi. It's a Greek word, which is the idea of really service. So we're not just presenting ourselves to the Lord. We're not coming just bowing down. We're serving the Lord. Our service is our presentation. It's to handle the word of God accurately, to live in it, to let it live in you, to present yourselves approved to God through your service to God. And part of that service, obviously, is the study of God's word. I want you to listen to this statement. I am so moved by this when I read it this week. Just listen, it's moved by it because it's a powerful statement. But listen to this. Paul felt the weight of his chains as he penned this charge, the 2 Timothy the verse up there, as he sat in a dark and dank prison cell. He's very aware that his days are numbered, heightening the sense of urgency in every word. He knew what Timothy and ultimately every believer would require, and that is to know the doctrinal truths and remain strong and intact. He's saying, as Paul is writing this to Timothy, Paul is very aware that the basic need for every child of God, and certainly for Timothy, is to know the Word of God, to be strong in it. And this is a statement that I've just been dwelling on this week. We must know and practice the Word of truth, refusing to remain amateurs, listen to that, refusing to remain amateurs in a world of false teachers who hone their skills for destruction. Do you get the picture Paul's, or that this guy is talking about? What Paul is saying is that the Christian is so unaware of the battle. That's basically what he's saying. We're up against a world that hates us, a messed up world that is honing its skills. Get that? It's honing its skills in order to defeat us. The goal of Satan is to destroy the Christian, to destroy the church. And as I read that, as I've been dwelling on that statement this week, it kind of reminded me of the original Rocky movie. Do you remember Rocky, the fighter from Philadelphia? And he gets this chance to fight the world champion, Apollo Creed. And if you remember the scene, it starts off his first day when he's out running. He's panting. He's grabbing his side. He's hurting. And then as the scene plays, he starts training. He's chasing a chicken. Remember the first one, his trainer's trying to get him to chase this chicken. He thought it was the most stupid thing. He's chasing this little chicken all around this pen. And then as the training gets better, Rocky goes out and he grabs the chicken. And then he does the running. Remember, he goes up to the art gallery and he's putting his hands up in the air. He'd run the 5 or 10 miles, however far he ran. But he's also in the meat locker. Do you remember that? He's in this meat locker and he just has his hands wrapped and he just starts punching the sides of beef. And then eventually he breaks a rib. And then he just starts pounding and just breaks the rib. And their cameras are in there filming it. And Rocky is training hard. Then they show the scene of Apollo Creed. Do you remember Apollo Creed sitting in with a suit on? I think he was smoking a cigar, having a drink of coffee. And his trainer is over there watching this picture of Rocky breaking ribs in a meat locker. And he says, "Champ, I think you need to see what's going on." And Apollo Creed said, "I don't care. You know, he's a chump." That was basically what he said. So here's Rocky training hard, honing his skills to fight the champ, and the champ's completely unaware. And that's a great picture, I think, of the church, is we are completely unaware of the fight that we're in. But we need to study the Word of God. It's a powerful statement there that demands our steadfastness. And you think about Israel and their failures so often to not be obedient to the Lord. It was never God's fault. I wrote down in my notes here, Joshua 1:8. You can turn there if you want, but Joshua 1:8 says, "The book of this law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." How do we have good success? How are we prosperous? If we meditate on the Word of God. But their failure came because they neglected the Word of God. And I believe too often the Christian's life, the Christian's diet is full of the stuff of the world rather than the Word. And we need to be students of the Word. We need to be studying the Word of God. We need to be applying it to our lives. We need to have a hunger for it because we're in a world that it's honing its skills to destroy you, to destroy me. And we get our strength from the Word of God. Second is we need to be attentive to obedience. The next step is once we're in the Word and the Word is becoming in us, is we need to obey and put into practice what we've studied in the Word. Okay, it's one thing to be in the Word. It's one thing to memorize it and have it in you, but if you don't do what it says, it's doing you no good. Every child of God is probably going to say, we completely agree with that. Why are you even talking about being obedient to the Word of God? We know that. But I believe every pastor in the pulpit this morning should be in some way talking about being obedient to the Word of God, because most Christians just aren't. It's a sad thing. Most Christians just are not obedient to the Word of God. And you see, Samuel had this discussion with Saul after Saul said, I obeyed God. Remember, Saul told Saul what to do, and Saul got anxious waiting for Samuel, and Samuel arrived in 1 Samuel 15. Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and in sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Here's Samuel the prophet talking to the king that way. Saul thought he was, you know, unbeatable. He was tall, he was handsome, he was strong, powerful. He had the ability to be a great king. Matter of fact, God had chosen him to be king, but he didn't obey. And Samuel just came to him and said, you think you're strong, you think you're good, but obedience is so much better. In James chapter 1, we know this verse, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If you know the word of God, if you hear the word of God, if you think you memorize the word of God, but you're not listening to it and obeying it, if you're not practicing it, if you're not doing it, you've only deceived yourselves. God takes our obedience to his word seriously. And he also takes our disobedience very seriously. God has called us to live this steadfast life, to allow his word to not only be in us, but to be lived out. I ask you this morning, how are you doing in your obedience to the word of God? And I'm not just talking about the big things, but the small things. Are we praying? Are we living righteously? Are we living holy? Are we trying to be more like Christ every day? Are we being obedient to what we know? The third thing is be attentive to prayer. Obviously, we stress prayer here at Draper Baptist. We have a number of different things. My first few months here at church 14 years ago, going on 15 years, was to start the pastor's prayer partners. And the men, our deacons and trustees, they meet each week with us. We had a list of everyone in the church at that time signed up to be a prayer partner. Everyone took a day, and we need to probably restart that again or redo it because we've lost a lot of the people. But everyone in the church picked up a day. Sometime throughout the day, they were going to pray for the church and the ministry and the pastor. And that was such a blessing to know that. But we have morning prayer time before services. We have prayer meeting each Wednesday night. We have small groups, and when we have them, we try to emphasize prayer. I send out the newsletter. By the way, if you're not getting the newsletter and you would like to, you really should be getting it. Get it so you can be aware of what's going on, what's coming up. We emphasize the church family needs. We emphasize prayer needs. We emphasize what the church is doing. We pray for the persecuted church, which we'll be doing this Wednesday night, the persecuted church throughout the world. We know the importance of prayer for our church, and we try to stress the importance of it individually as well. But I want you to see it as you look at your notes, as you look at the screen, the key word is be attentive. And that means to be careful to do it, to guard it, to make it a priority, to treat it the way God would treat it. Be attentive to prayer. And the question is your prayer life consistent? Is your prayer life regular? Are you in constant communication with God? I've mentioned this lady before, the black lady from our church up in Corning, Dana. Her birthday was just the other day, and I think of Dana and John very often, and John had, this is my beautiful wife's birthday, you know, and so I wrote to him, just said, I think of you guys often and really miss the times of fellowship, but Dana was a prayer warrior, and I appreciated it so much having her there. But Paul called the church to Colossae to prayer in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 4, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Be watchful in it with thanksgiving. And then he goes on, he says, at the same time, pray for us that God may open a door to us for the word of God to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear and speak as I ought to speak. Paul is saying you need to be steadfast in prayer. You need to be doing it. And while you're praying, please pray for me. Paul wasn't afraid to say, I have a need. I want to tell you, I read it to Cheryl the other day. I got a I forgot to put that one up there. Guard it, value it. I got an email the other day or message on Facebook from a lady. She's got to be 90 years old down at our church, 85 to 90 years old, down in my old church in Delaware. And the woman just wrote to me and said, Ron, she calls me Ronnie. She said, Ronnie, she said, I saw Naomi, who was the mother of another friend of mine. She said, she's 95 years old, still doing well, still living on her own, still lives in the same house that they did when I was friends with her son, Tim. And she said, she just wanted to know if anybody ever hears from Ronnie. And she goes, I told her that you and Linda, which is her daughter, still keep in good contact with each other. So Linda, who's the daughter of the woman who wrote to me, she wrote back to me the other day, and she goes, I want you to know this. She goes, let me see, I put it in here. She goes, hey, I know you always have people praying for you, but what a joy it must be for you to know that my mom and Naomi pray regularly for you daily. I said, man, that was so neat to hear that. A woman I haven't really seen, well, I did see her at my sister's funeral four or five years ago. But we were always over at each other's house, Linda and her brother Dave, and we were really good friends, and all a group of us. But her parents still pray for me. And I was so impressed with that. She goes, it must be a joy for you to know that my mom prays for you. What a blessing to have people pray. And folks, are you a prayer warrior? Are you praying for people regularly? Are you praying for me regularly? Are you praying for our church regularly? What a blessing it is to hear that. As we spend time in the Word of God, we must also spend time in prayer. Praying, again, if you don't know what to pray, just pray back what you just read to the Lord. Get in the Word of God and just pray back the verses that you just read. Nothing blesses God more than to hear His Word. It is essential for us to pray. It's essential for us to pray as individuals. It's essential for us to pray as a body. And then the final one, be attentive to fellowship. When we think of standing up against the crowd, when we think of standing steadfast in this messed up world, there really is strength in numbers. When Renee wrote to me about her son being picked on at school, I said, does he have any friends that will help defend him? And she goes, Aiden is so quiet. And she goes, there's only one other white boy in the class, and they're targeted together. So she said, there's not really much they can do. And I just remember, I said, it's a shame that schools, you know, don't let students handle bullies the way they used to. If a guy was being a bully to everybody, guys would get together and put an end to it. You'd handle it on your own, but you can't do that in today's world. But there was strength in numbers. There was nice knowing that your buddy was going to be there in a battle with you. And it's great for us to know in our spiritual walk that our friends from our church are going to be together with us. And that's what gathering together each week. It's also an essential part of the spiritual world. And Paul, or I shouldn't say Paul, I believe it's Paul, but the writer of the Hebrews would say this, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. All the more as you say the day, drawing near. To ask for a question, quick question is, what's drawing near? What is the day that the Hebrew writer is talking about? What does he mean when he says, as you see this day approaching or drawing near? It means the day of the Lord. Judgment day. The end times. or just the very end is coming. It's near. It could come today. Christ could call us back and as an individual, or Christ could return today and take his body home. And then that is the day that's drawing near. And we need to be meeting together. We need to be filling ourselves with the presence of God, but with the presence of one another. The church today has not only become complacent in not believing in the end times. There's a lot of people who don't believe it. It's not going to get any worse than this, you'll hear Christians say. So they're not only that we're not believing in it, but we're not anticipating it. We're not looking forward to it. We're not praying that it comes. That's the final thing on our prayer list every Wednesday is the coming of Christ. Come soon, Lord. That's what we're looking for. I cannot wait because the end is drawing near. But with the end in mind and in body and sight, every believer should be in fellowship with God and with one another. It's important for us to meet together. So we can ask ourselves, who is this body? When he's talking about don't give up meeting together, who's he talking about? It's people who have something in common. It's people who are like-minded. It's people who are determined to live for Christ no matter what the opposition is. And I believe we have that together here this morning. I believe a small group, we're looking forward and anticipating receiving the crown of life no matter what the opposition is, no matter what people say, no matter what persecution might come our way. And when this group of people meet, look around. When we get together, that's holy fellowship. We call it fellowship when we go up there for food, right? If you don't have coffee or you don't have something to eat, it's not really good fellowship. That's not true. Just being together is fellowship. So look for people who are like-minded. Russ talks about quite often when he travels, he goes to the different churches, and he might not know everybody, but it is great fellowship. And I've told you this before when I remember the first time that we went to a church in Nigeria. Talk about feeling out of place. It was a group of, seven or eight white students from America in a church of about 400 blacks, and we could not understand anything they were saying. But when they sang a song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus," and they sang it in their language, and we said, "Hey, we know this one." And there were two or three other songs throughout the time we were there a lot more songs that they would sing that we knew the tune of, and we knew what they were saying. And I tell you, that was holy fellowship, even though we had no idea what was going on. But the church today is compromising the message of Christ. They're denying the Word of God. But when we get together, when we come together for fellowship, that means just being together. It's not meeting, eating. But enjoy the laughter together. There's times when we're going to laugh. There's going to be times when we're going to cry. We can cry when we lose a member of our church or someone loses a spouse or whatever, a child. We can encourage one another in this messed up world to continue to be steadfast, to stand for Christ, to pray for one another, to love one another in the Lord. And that's what real fellowship is. So if you viewed your spiritual walk this morning and you saw some areas lagging, I want you to think of it this way. We're getting ready to take the field this morning and against the battle with Satan. And we're already there. And the coach is coming along into the locker room, and he's giving you this speech. He says, be attentive to the game plan that we've laid out for you. Again, let Christ talk to you this morning. Stay in the Word. Study it. Obey it. Live it. Enjoy God's family. Enjoy my body together. Be steadfast. Be immovable in your service as the Word of God is in you. Live it out. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for the lessons in it. And Lord, I pray that we would be steadfast and immovable this morning through the study, the obedience of your word, through our prayers, through our fellowship together with one another. I pray that we would grow together and your son would be the one who's elevated and lifted up. And Lord, help us to live 100% dedicated to you. Lord, not getting hung up with the news, not getting hung up with the issues that we tend to get struggle against and get frustrated with. And Lord, help us to be very aware that the enemy is honing his skills to destroy me, to destroy each one here. And help us to be prepared through the study of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand together and sing a song that we've sung a number of times here before, Worthy is the Lamb. And then we'll have a word of prayer.